The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We've got a big women's college basketball game on Thursday. Number 4, South Carolina, taking on number 19, Mississippi State. Dawn Staley has the Gamecocks undefeated atop the conference, while the Bulldogs are 3-3. It tips 7 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. And that was great fun. Our thanks again to Michael Wilbon for spending a half hour here. And we are busy with another hour of Get Up coming your way. Live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, we are brought to you by Chase, and we have a lot on the menu. Let's go. It is time to get up with Aaron Rodgers. His season, over. His future, very much in doubt after another devastating defeat. You will hear what Brett Favre thinks the future holds in a moment. Meanwhile, it may be the most intriguing Super Bowl matchup ever. The question is, what will it mean if the GOAT beats the kid? And don't miss Mel Kiper live with us here, debuting his first mock draft of the season. Wait until you see who isn't taking a quarterback in round one. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now with Fat Man. After the Packers' crushing loss to the Bucks, many are wondering what the future holds in Green Bay, especially with Aaron Rodgers' cryptic post-game comments. Here's former Packer legend Brett Favre with his thoughts on the subject.
I wouldn't pay much attention to it. I think frustration, disappointment, hurt, pain, all were in that sound bite. Look, there's no way the Packers would do anything to jeopardize losing Aaron. Unless Aaron just chooses to retire, which I would be shocked. The guy's playing better now than he's ever played. And I think for the Packers, you would be foolish to make any move other than bringing him back and going as long as he wants to go.
So obviously when he speaks on this subject, it is worth listening to. And by the way, Favre played 16 seasons for the Packers. Rodgers has played 16 seasons for the Packers. Bart Starr played 16 seasons for the Packers. So there's a symmetry here. Marcus Spears, do you believe we've seen the last of Rodgers in Green Bay?
Yep, I do. I thought it before the season started. And it's not about the contract. It ain't about how many years he got left. It ain't about Green Bay and his love and the fans' love. It ain't about that. We just watched Brett Favre talk about it, who went to the damn Vikings and beat us in the playoffs when I was trying to go to a damn Super Bowl. I never thought I saw that happen either. I never thought I saw see Tom Brady go play for another team. I saw that too. Never thought Joe Montana would go play for another team. Guess what? Saw that too. Nothing is off the table. Like, these guys, we know how important quarterbacks are to this league. But they also carry a lot of weight. And when they want to decide to do something different, they can do something different. They have more leverage, especially when you have a career like Aaron Rodgers has had. You have more leverage than probably anybody in the league. That's the only reason we're talking about Deshaun being on another team. We're not talking about Deshaun Watson going to another team because Deshaun Watson just wants to go to another team. We're talking about Deshaun Watson going to another team because he's a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. This would be a non-story if these guys didn't have this clout. So I believe Aaron Rodgers is this last year, and I believe it's more about a change of scenery, a new look, a new opportunity, more so than he just hates Green Bay and trying to get out of there. He may just want to refresh and go try to do it somewhere else.
Yeah, and look, I think that's a good point, and I think if you want to try and put it in perspective, it is more akin to what we just saw with James Harden than it generally is to things we see in the National Football League. So, Graziano, Marcus is making a good point. The idea that he would finish somewhere else is not surprising, but what would have to happen for this offseason to be the time that took place?
He would have to force their hand. The Packers have no incentive to move on from him after this season, and that was not their plan when they drafted Jordan Love last year. They would like to have him for at least one more year, and the contract would make it very difficult for the Packers to move him. So he would have to force their hand, which is what Marcus is talking about, and what you're talking about when you reference the NBA guys. We have seen in recent years, you know, cornerbacks like Jalen Ramsey, tackles like Trent Williams, defensive players like Jadeveon Clowney, sort of force their way out of situations they didn't like onto teams that they preferred to be on as a result of exercising their leverage, which is I won't play for you anymore. We haven't seen it with a quarterback. And since Carson Palmer did it years and years ago with the Bengals, he retired and ended up getting himself traded. But if it starts to happen with quarterbacks, with Deshaun Watson, with Aaron Rodgers, with guys of that level, then it becomes, you know, the floodgates are open. Then it doesn't become something that happens once or twice a year. It becomes something that any player in the league with a contract and any kind of clout feels like they can do. So the league is watching this closely. Other teams are watching this closely. But if Aaron Rodgers decides to force the Packers' hand and say, I'm not going to play unless you trade me, then it becomes a very difficult situation for Green Bay.
Okay, so let's have some fun. Jeff Saturday, you and I are going to do a little dramatization. So I'm Aaron Rodgers, and I come to you. You're the person in charge. You're whoever it is that is making these decisions. And I say, Jeff, I want out. It's been great, but I'm done here, and I want you to trade me. What do you say?
It's been a heck of a career for you, man. I hope you enjoy retirement. Let me know where you are. I'll come visit you when I'm on vacation. Because there ain't no way I'm letting that dude out of Green Bay. No, all the arguments these two brilliant young men just brought up. I just want to know where the house in Hawaii is. I'm going to swing by with my kids. We'll go play at your beach because I know you got made enough money to get there. But you are not getting out of Green Bay. Listen, you're going to have to retire to get out. And the bottom line is the difference between Watson and everybody else Dan just met is they're not 37. Rodgers is 37. If he retires or sits out or does whatever, they can keep holding. And by the way, for leverage purposes, they do have a first rounder. They may not want to play him, but they could play him if they're forced to because Rodgers decides to leave the building. But there's no way. It will cost the head coach his job, the general manager his job, Mark Murphy, whatever that thing is, owner, whatever that thing is, his job too. They're all getting fired because wherever he goes, Greeny, he's going to make that team a Super Bowl contender and potentially a champion. If that happens, there's no get from the Packers that you can have that justifies it. Ultimately, you have him through 2023. Maybe you have to sign him to a new deal. Do what you got to do. Keep him in the building.
What do you think, Dan?
I'm just stuck on Jeff Saturday calling me a young man when I'm 3 years older young than he is. I just want to let him know how much I appreciate that. That's all. I missed everything he said after that.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, very good. All right, so we will wait and see. This is going to be the most interesting story of the NFL offseason. In the meantime, it's time for our favorite moment of the week, the pancakes.
Set him down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw him out the club. Swagoo, throw him out the club. You see him? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes.
Celebrating the guys who really matter in pro football, Jeff Saturday handing out the pancakes for the best blocks of the football weekend. Go ahead, Jeff, take it away.
Greeny, I wish we had Mel Kiper so we could stop all that nonsense about receivers. You're about to see some real ball. Look at Ryan Jensen from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's very – hey, listen, this is Kenny Clark now. That is a dude on defense. Jensen takes him, hands inside, and forward presses that dude. Puts him on his back. I love it. Rolling guys in the D's. He ain't scared about anything. That is a nasty son of a gun. One pancake, domination in the line of scrimmage on a pass, which makes it even better. All right, here we go. Hey, listen. Lucas Patrick, the guard for – that's the Dominican Sue. Big boy taking it. You know how this is so embarrassing. Watch him finish him at the end. He's trying to come off. Oh. This is when you know it's bad because his buddy, his other buddy defensive tackle, is trying to push Patrick off of him. That's when you know you rolled him up because his boy's trying to help him. Absolutely love it. That's two pancakes for Patrick. Well done. Kuiper, I'm glad you're in. You're about to see it. Mercedes Lewis, tight end. Look at this take, JPP. Oh. 10 yards. Out the club, baby. 10 yards. Out the club. Just tosses him. This may be one of the nastiest blocks of the playoff. I mean, he takes him and runs him. JP's trying to get off. He looks like a bug on a windshield. Hands or whatever, can't get off. Nah. Three pancakes because he's finished him in a nasty way. But you know what I didn't see in any of these clips, Mel Kiper? A wide receiver. Why? We don't need him. We're going to handle our business in them trenches, one. Baby.
For those of you just joining us, and that was brilliant as always, Jeff is upset because Mel has receivers going 2 and 3 in the mock draft. Go ahead, Mel.
Yeah, Gruden did this to me. I used to go down to Tampa, right, before the draft, and he'd have it all set up for me to look bad because it'd have all the guys I liked having bad plays and all the guys I didn't like catching touch. So, Jeff, that was a great setup, pal, to just destroy me. But I think when you look at that game you had up there, Chris Godwin made some plays. Mike Evans made some plays last time I checked. So I think there were some receivers that we could have shown helping out the GOAT in that particular game other than just the offensive linemen doing what they did.
But they didn't hand out pancakes for those. All right, we'll take a short break. Much more. That's Mel right. is staying with us as we continue here this morning. Mel revealing his first mock draft of 2021. You will see who he doesn't have taking a quarterback in round one. Plus, we have sneaky big news on a Chiefs injury that could have a huge impact on the Super Bowl. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome to the Kobe Show, take two.
Today, the Jump celebrates the life of Kobe Bryant.
The world lost a great basketball player, but LA lost a superhero.
Special memories.
The look he gave me was so damn disrespectful, it was crazy.
And of course, so many incredible Kobe moments.
81 point game.
The Jump honors Kobe Bryant today from 2 to 4 Eastern here on ESPN.
That will no doubt be outstanding, and we will have Jalen Rose with us live here in 15 minutes talking about Kobe Bryant and his legacy on the one-year anniversary of the tragedy of his death. That's coming up here on ESPN. Meanwhile, this morning, Mel Kiper Jr. is with us, and he has just released his first mock draft of the year. It's available right now on ESPN+. And certainly at the top, not a surprise, Trevor Lawrence, the number one pick, giving Jacksonville the starting quarterback that it needs. And then the next quarterback off the board is not Justin Fields, but it's BYU's Zach Wilson. Mel has him going 4 to the Falcons, Atlanta coming off a 4-12 season. And then Fields is next. He has him going 7 overall to the Lions. So 3 quarterbacks in the top 7 picks of this mock draft. We know that Matthew Stafford is on his way out of Detroit. And overall, Mel, with 5 quarterbacks in the first 15 picks of the first mock draft, including Trey Lance to the Panthers at 8 and Mac Jones to the Patriots at 15. He has the Heisman winner Devontae Smith going number 2 overall to the Jets. So let's come out and talk about it. And let's start, I guess, with what I think will be one of the most interesting questions here. Mel, why Zach Wilson ahead of Justin Fields in that very close battle to be the second quarterback?
Had to go with somebody, had to make a call, and I went back and forth on it, and I felt like Zach Wilson came in without that subpar game where Justin had a couple. Go back to Indiana, Northwestern. So I just went with a guy who had a phenomenal season, arm strength, release, accuracy, mobility, athleticism, smarts. He has all that. And he's still very young. You know, he's not 24, 25 coming out of BYU like some players are. He's in that 21, 22 area. So you think about Zach Wilson just slightly ahead of Justin Fields, who I think still goes in that top group, but drops down just a bit. And we may have some trade activity, which I'm not projecting. You never know about that. Teams always in late April go after those quarterbacks hard. So we'll see. But I think Zach Wilson comes off the board just slightly ahead of Justin Fields.
And again, these drafts tend to be remembered for and defined by the quarterbacks, and you have 5 of them going in the first 15 picks, Mel.
Right. And Mac Jones is going to be interesting because New England with Tom Brady, you think about Alabama, Mac Jones, Belichick, Saban connection, not great athleticism, not great mobility, that's Mac Jones, but tremendous accuracy to all levels. So I saw some reason to believe that Belichick may see a little Brady in Mac Jones coming out. And I like that Saban-Belichick connection, probably makes too much sense, but I think Mac Jones goes somewhere between that 15 and that, where you talk about Washington at 19, you get into Indy, those types of teams, Pittsburgh, all could be looking at maybe at Mac Jones.
Yeah, let's see which of those teams wind up making quarterback moves between now and April. Yeah. That'll have a lot to do with it as well. Deshaun Watson, Matt Stafford, and others, their futures up in the air. Now, Jeff, to sort of keep it in a serious way, Because earlier you were, we had a little fun with the idea that you don't like the idea of receivers going as early in the draft as Mel has them. He has one projected at 2 and one projected at 3. But in a serious way, do you believe that's too high to take a wide receiver in the NFL draft?
No, I do. And listen, all jokes aside, but you've seen so many receivers. I mean, think about the way Pittsburgh has kind of developed players and developed receivers. There are so many good receivers who can come in and help a system. And I do agree that the Jets need to help Sam Darnold, especially if that's the direction they stay. But in my opinion, protecting him with an offensive lineman, rusher, whatever you can get. But from a receiver perspective, it's just hard for me to think a guy going 2 is going to have that much effect on the football team and the nucleus of a football team. It is just a difficulty for me to buy into. Again, if there weren't so many good ones who you can put in so many different offenses and different systems, because again, Mel brought up the point, they do it from high school on now. It's not like they have to develop very much. They are ready when they come in. So for me, I would push them down or trade out of it to get more picks as opposed to taking a receiver at 2.
It's a bigger picture conversation that perhaps we can have another time. Mel, let me get Marcus in here, though, on the quarterbacks, because, again, the draft is always defined and remembered for the quarterbacks. Put Trevor Lawrence in a different category. We all know he's going number right. 1. If you, Marcus Spears, needed a quarterback for your team and the rest of them were on the board, which one do you love?
Justin Fields. And it's because of his athletic ability, the ability to get out of trouble while you're developing. We see it happening with a lot of quarterbacks. Lamar is still developing. We looked at Mitchell Trubisky. He was drafted because of athleticism. And I'm not using that example how things turned out, but that was a big pull for Mitchell Trubisky with the Chicago Bears, is that he had that athletic ability. I've seen Justin Fields play in big games and have a lot of success as well. So I would bet on that. I don't mind the Zach Wilson being ahead. I understand Mel's thinking. Justin Fields would be that guy. Measurables, athletic ability, and can still win games while developing because of that athletic trait, like we saw Justin Herbert this year.
Now, David Pollack said on this show he's a more athletic Dak Prescott, which sounds pretty good to me. Mel, final word, final thought on Fields.
Fields is going to be right there. It's going to be a battle all the way up to the end. I'm not going to lock in. This is Mach 1.0, not Mach 5.0. But I'll tell you what, Saturday was awful salty. He must have had some pumpkin pie with a whipped cream and a little milk, not coffee, to settle down. A little more sugar than salt was Saturday. And by the way, Jeff, I had 5 offensive linemen going into top 20. I had 5 receiving entities going to top 20. So it balanced out pretty well, Jeff. You should be feeling pretty good.
Now we all feel a lot better. See how we work these things out?
Mel,
outstanding.
He didn't want to acknowledge that. He wanted to fight.
Mel is going to stay here. We're going to do more with him as we continue. Coming up, it may be the most intriguing Super Bowl matchup ever. The question is, what will it mean if the GOAT beats the kid? And we got Sneaky Hembo, and that means it's Graziano. The mano a mano continues. Who's the only quarterback in NFL history to win MVP in his final season? That's the question. The answer is next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, Graziano, this one is ridiculously hard, bordering on unfair. Who was the only quarterback in NFL history to win MVP in his final season?
Yeah, it can't be anybody that recent, so I'm just going to go back into the 70s and just guess Terry Bradshaw.
Now, this question is unfair. The answer is Norm Van Brocklin in 1960. That's ridiculous. I don't even think that should count in the standings. I'd like to launch a protest against that being counted in the standings as going in favor of Hembo. By the way, Jim Brown did it too, but Van Brocklin is the only. That's ridiculous.
That's crap, Hembo.
Yes,
that's
you know what?
Crap.
We are revolting against Hembo today. There's no question about it. All right, coming up. After a devastating loss on Sunday, Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay is uncertain. Has he played his last game as a Packer? We'll get the perspective of Norm Van Brocklin as we continue next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
Nothing more fun, Swagoo says, where you will hear what other people say, and then Swagoo will tell you what they really meant. The first one, Marcus, is Patrick Mahomes. He was asked about facing Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, and this is what he said.
Being able to go up against one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback of all time in his 150th Super Bowl, I mean, it's going to be a great experience.
That's what Patrick Mahomes said. What does Swagoo say?
Yeah, I see all y'all talking about the gold and the king and the prince and Benjamin Button. I'm Patrick Mahomes. I'm coming for the throne. That's y'all king. That ain't my king. That's what Pat's saying. If not one of the greatest. He did not say GOAT. He did not say Tom Brady is the GOAT because Patrick Mahomes is built the same way. And that's why he said that. That's y'all king. Y'all crowning. I'm going for the throne.
He is working his way in that direction at a very rapid pace, at a very young age, 25 years old, and on his way perhaps to his second Super Bowl. All right, next up, speaking of the Super Bowl, is Bruce Arians, who was asked about going for it at the end of the first half Sunday in that game against Green Bay. Here is what Arians had to say.
We didn't come here to not take chances to win the game.
Marcus, what do you think?
First of all, that tan is magnificent. But B.A.
Guys,
told
how good
y'all
was that?
A few weeks ago.
We can do any damn thing we want to do.
What the hell y'all want me to say? B.A. done told y'all. He told y'all weeks ago. We do what the hell we want to do. We came here to win. Yeah, we came to throw it down the sideline before halftime to win the damn game. We went for it on fourth down with a handoff to Godwin, and he got the first down to ice the game. We do what the hell we want to do. Now we in the Super Bowl in our own city, so it is what I told y'all it was. We do what the hell we want to do. I love B.A. G, I told you I got to get a cigar and a drink with this man.
I would like to be there just to mediate the conversation. Yes. But very quickly, Marcus, on that play, bearing in mind it's a family show, what word came out of your mouth when Scotty Miller caught that ball?
Damn.
I have a feeling that's not exactly true. All right, one more.
That is not exactly true.
One more from Arians. He was asked about facing these high-powered Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. This is what he said.
I'm not really excited playing Tyreek Hill and Kelce and Mahomes. That's a formidable challenge, but our guys will be up for it.
That's what he said. What does Swagoo say?
Yeah, G, listen. Bruce Arians is saying what everybody knows. Like, nobody's excited to play up against these dudes. But if you're scared, get a dog. That's what the OGs used to tell me when I was growing up. And B.A. says, I got some dogs over here, too. We going to be ready to play. I ain't scared. If you're scared, get out. I'm a dog. My team of dogs. If you're scared, get a dog. Well, we full of dogs. Let's go win the Super Bowl.
Look, they just went up against Aaron Rodgers, who's playing as well as absolutely anybody, so I agree. Nothing to be afraid of there. Swagoo says, outstanding.
You scared, get a dog if you are not one. All right? That's what my old school fellas used to tell me. Marcus, if you're scared, get a dog. But you're going to find out if you want or not and if you need one. If you need one, that's a bad thing.
Fair enough. And look, I've usually been scared, and I am very happy to have a dog. Okay, that's Marcus with Swag who says. Meanwhile, let's go to the performance of the night, and it came from another who we sometimes call the GOAT. That's LeBron James. Back home in Cleveland, said it was the home cooking, had dinner at his mom's house the night before they went out last night and dropped 46 on the Cavs. Look at him there, late in the first, knocking down a three. He had 17 in the first quarter. Then first play of the second, look at the dime. Little dish, six assists for LeBron. That one to Montrezl Harrell, who had 15 points off the bench. Lakers up 13, but in the fourth quarter, this was a close game. Lakers up just two. LeBron, defense, offense, flush. He was 19 of 26. From the floor. He really took over in the fourth quarter. Look at him going up, swatting that one away from Colin Sexton. They called it a goaltend, then they overturned it. Then he's knocking down a three from the logo. That gave him 36. A minute later, the step back three. Now he's at 41. A minute left in the game. A little Bernard King baseline action. LeBron James, 21 in the fourth, 46 points on the night. The Lakers remain perfect on the road. They win it in Cleveland, 115. To 108, so they're 10-0 on the road. And with that 46 points, he's the oldest Laker with a 40-point game since Kobe Bryant scored 60 in the final game of his career. And, of course, today marks the one-year anniversary of Kobe's tragic death. It was Sunday, January 26th of 2020, when Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter Gianna and seven others were killed in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California. The days and the weeks that followed were marked with emotional outpourings of grief and appreciation from around the world as people celebrated the life and the legacy of one of the great legends that we've ever seen in sports and well beyond. And so we have Jalen Rose with us today. And, you know, Jay, we just talked last week because it was the anniversary of the 81-point game, and we were remembering Kobe then. And so I just wonder, when you woke up this morning and you knew this was something everyone, and yourself included, would be talking about, what were the first thoughts that went through your mind?
Well, it's really tough, Greeny, because, you know, it's only 1 year. And we get introduced to these all-time great athletes and entertainers through their performance. But then when you start to get to know them and appreciate that there's a game of life that comes with this. And Kobe Bryant being drafted in 1996, and Jerry West saying that that was the greatest workout that he'd ever seen. Drafted by the Hornets, traded for Vlade Divac to the Los Angeles Lakers. Was a child phenom in the NBA annals, but he wasn't a starter on his own team. And a lot of people, including in his own locker room, resented that he was presented to be the golden child so very young. They go to Utah, they lose a playoff game, he shoot multiple air balls at the end of the game, and people start to assassinate his character. What does he do? He gets in the gym, he starts to work, and before you know it, Kobe Bryant becomes a three-time back-to-back-to-back champion playing alongside Shaquille O'Neal. And then another, I guess, turbulent career thing happened when he and Shaq didn't see eye to eye, and Shaq left. You remember this, Greeny. People chose sides, and they picked Shaq. The public picked Shaq. And then Shaq went to Miami and won a championship. And I remember covering a game when he and Dwayne Wade came back to play at L.A. versus Kobe. There were no handshakes that game. And so for Kobe Bryant to then reinvent himself again, change his number, win two more championships with Pau Gasol and Phil Jackson, that validated in his mind his all-time greatness. And we talk about Michael Jordan or LeBron James or whoever you want to be the greatest of all time, but I tell you, if I look really close, there'll never be another Michael Jordan. But Kobe Bryant is the next best thing. The turnaround jumper, the language at the press conference, the maturity, the discipline, the love of the game of basketball. Kobe loved nothing more than his family and basketball. And that also rubbed people the wrong way as a young player in the league, Greeny, because he was scoring 20, 25 points a game, but he was barely 21. And so to watch him grow up in front of our very eyes and see the 40-point explosions for a month and the 60-plus point game against the Mavs in three quarters and the 81-point game that we celebrated last week. And 60 points in his final basketball game? Mm-hmm. Like, who scores 60 points in their final basketball game? And then goes on to win awards for his work beyond basketball. And you know, for doing this for so very long, Greeny, you got trophies on the mantle. You got championships. You in the Hall of Fame. Kobe was accomplishing that already in his young career as a producer. So we really lost the giant. We lost an iconic human being that just happened to play basketball. And it's really too soon to be having this conversation about somebody that's gone so very young.
It's a beautiful remembrance. And you're right, he won an Oscar is what you're talking about, and had his sights set on so many other things that he wanted to do in his life. But one of the things that I wanted to do here was try and remember him with a little bit of a smile today. And so I'd ask you this. We talked about the 81-point game. But when he won his first championship, you just mentioned the three-peat, they beat your Indiana Pacers. How would you describe what it was like trying to guard Kobe Bryant at that point when he was at his absolute best?
So that series was his coming out party, Greeny. Phil wins a championship in 98 with Mike and the Bulls. He goes to the Lakers, and they win three straight in the early 2000s. Shaq fouls out. I think it's game 4 or 5, and they go into overtime, and that's when they went into what we used to call with MJ the Bermuda Triangle. We just give it to Kobe at the top and clear it out. And that's when he pointed to the ground after he made the jumper to get down and lay down. And that wasn't just to the opponent. That was to the media. That was to the fans. And you know what else? That was to his bench. I was on the court. That was to his team, too. That was them having to validate his greatness in front of the world. And it was really awesome to see. And I'm really proud that one of the most shared Kobe Bryant clips virally is a clip produced by Nanachka Khan and Melvin Marr and myself. And enjoy it today if you want a smile from Kobe Bryant and myself. It's called 81 Olives. And I really appreciated him doing it. And it's going to put a smile to your face on clearly what's going to be a tough day as we remember an all-time great human being.
Yeah, that was from Jalen versus Everybody. I remember it well. And he had a good sense of humor about that stuff. And that's the hardest part about today. Like Michael Wilbon mentioned it, you know, we lost Hank Aaron last week, and that's sad. But Hank Aaron lived to be 86 years old. He lived a full life. We missed out, his family missed out, and Kobe missed out on a lot of things that would have been special today, the one-year anniversary. Jalen, you're the best. Thank you for the remembrances this morning, and I know you will have much
more. I love you, my brother. Have a good day.
Through the day. You too. We'll see you a little bit later. Meanwhile, we will have basketball coming up tomorrow night on ESPN. Star-studded NBA doubleheader. LeBron and the Lakers taking on Joel Embiid and the Sixers. That's the early game, 6:30 Eastern. Then D'Angelo Russell, Minnesota, taking on Steph and the Warriors. It all starts tomorrow night with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center, 7 Eastern on ESPN. All right, back to football as we continue. Sneaky big news on a Chiefs injury that might have a huge impact on their chances to win the Super Bowl. Don't miss that next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You ready for our Super Tuesday doubleheader on ESPN? We'll start in the SEC, 7 Eastern. Tonight, we're number 18, Alabama, hosting Kentucky, and then we'll go to the ACC. Georgia Tech at Cameron Indoor taking on Duke. That's all tonight right here on ESPN, where we continue Get Up With You Now. Mike Greenberg in our studios with you commercial free for the next 12 and a half minutes, taking right up to the top of the hour, which is when First Take will take over, and they will be busy today. First Take will answer this question: is Brett Favre right about Aaron Rodgers, and which team should trade for Matthew Stafford right now? Stephen A., Max, and Molly debate that. Again, we're with you commercial free for the next 12 minutes until they take over. And we have sneaky big news. Left tackle Eric Fisher will not play for the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl against Tampa after he tore his Achilles in Sunday's AFC Championship game. Dan Graziano, my insider, what more can you tell us?
The Chiefs are already playing without their starting right tackle, Mitchell Schwartz, who hasn't played since week six with a back injury. They've been able to fill in, but now you got to fill two starting tackle spots against a Buccaneers edge rush that is on fire. Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett combined for five sacks against Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. That's incredible. Rodgers was only sacked 20 times total in the previous 17 games this year. So obviously Tampa Bay is getting after the passer, and Kansas City is going to have to work to make sure that they can get that shored up in the next couple of weeks.
So, Jeff Saturday, some of us, I think, will watch this and will say Andy Reid is a magician. Patrick Mahomes is a magician. They'll find ways to cover that up, and it won't hardly make any difference at all. But I can see you shaking your head already. What's going to happen?
Yeah, this is the matchup of the Super Bowl, Green. If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have any chance of winning this game, it is going to require JPP and Shaq Barrett to pressure Patrick Mahomes. Eric Fisher being out is a huge loss for the Kansas City Chiefs. Listen, the backside of that pressure for Mahomes is going to be important. They like to blitz. Todd Bowles likes to bring the blitz. Now they can just rush four, and you're hoping those two guys can get home. Force Mahomes to step up in the pocket, and if he is going to escape vertically through the pocket. What does that mean? That means Devin White, David can come down and get shots on Mahomes as he's scrambling. What Tampa Bay cannot allow is him to break, contain, get outside, and those off-schedule throws to Kelce or Hill or name a receiver or a running back, they can put the ball in their hands, and all of a sudden they're off to the races. This is the matchup, Greeny. I'm telling you, this Fisher loss is huge. It will be, you know, we'll talk about how do you cover Tyreek Hill, how do you cover Kelce, all that conversation. The bottom line is Tampa Bay has to get home with those two edge rushers, force Mahomes inside, and Fisher being gone is going to make that possible.
And they also are a blitz-happy team. Any team in which Todd Bowles is the
Correct.
Defensive coordinator, they like to send extra people, which, of course, leaves you a little more vulnerable on the back end. But perhaps if they're able to get pressure without having to send people because Kansas City doesn't have their offensive tackles, that could also be impactful as I look at it. What do you think?
No, absolutely. Listen, that's what I was saying. When you're only rushing four, you're dropping seven, and you believe those two guys on the edge can get home. And it's what you call compressing the pocket, right? We talk about passers, and as good as Mahomes is, when you start compressing a pocket, everybody gets nervous, right? Their feet start to go, and he wants to go one of two ways. He wants to bounce outside to his right or outside to his left. You're watching a great example. What's he doing? He's buying time in the scrambling drill for receivers to get open and come back. What the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to want to do is force him to stay in the pocket and get vertical, and now they can play zone behind and keep their eyes on the quarterback, break on the ball, and if he does use his legs, which we have seen him do in the playoffs, you go hit him. Hit him multiple times, make him uncomfortable. That's going to be their game plan. But being able to keep seven in the backfield and rush four and still get pressure on Mahomes will be huge for this game. And again, could be the deciding factor because you're going to have to score. I don't care how much. You're going to slow him down. You're not going to stop him. But that slowdown process may give you a chance for Tom Brady to have some heroics as well.
So again, sneaky big news today. The Chiefs will be without their starting right tackle, but without their left tackle going ahead to the Super Bowl. Those are the teams that are still playing. Meanwhile, a lot of the conversation is about those whose seasons just came to an end, particularly in Green Bay, where Aaron Rodgers lost his fourth conference championship game on Sunday and speculated about his future after the game, which led our Adam Schefter to do something he doesn't usually do. He speculated about Rodgers' future live here on Get Up.
He's under contract to the Green Bay Packers for three more seasons. So they control him for three more seasons. Unless Aaron Rodgers says, I'm not going to play there anymore, and I want to be traded. It would take a huge set of cojones to do that. But if that's what he wants to do, that's what he's entitled to do. He didn't pick Green Bay. Green Bay picked him. And now he's at the point in his career, with the way the NFL is set up, that he can pick where he wants to go. And it may be Green Bay. I'm just saying, it may be Green Bay.
So that was Shefty yesterday. We had Michael Wilbon on this show today about an hour ago, and he said, quote, I don't want to overreact to what happens in the minutes after a game, but I got to say, watching the post game and listening to him talk all week long about mysteries, my reaction is Aaron Rodgers is done in Green Bay. He later said he thinks it's about a 70% chance that Rodgers has taken his last snap as a Packer. I have not heard from Mel Kiper Jr. about this morning. What do you think of that possibility that Rodgers might force his way out of Green Bay?
First off, you're Green Bay, you can't move Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. He's the MVP. After the season's over, it was a long year. It was a tough year. You talk to people in the league, they're kind of relieved this year is over. Let's move on. And I think about Jordan Love. He didn't have a preseason game to play in. Okay, I like them coming out. I didn't love him like Ty did, but I like Jordan Love. That arm talent is undeniable. But yeah, think about Aaron. Aaron sat for 3 years watching Brett Favre. We're only 1 year in, and this year was unlike any other. Like I say, no preseason games for Jordan Love. Aaron Rodgers will be a Green Bay Packer. That's where he belongs. That's where he'll be. You can't make any other move. Jordan Love to go to him. That's a division with Bears. Don't know what they're doing to quarterback. Think about Detroit, same thing. You got Cousins in Minnesota. So they're set up perfectly. Aaron for another couple years, then Jordan Love taking over. Perfect scenario, but not this year coming up.
Marcus, why are you doing all of that stuff you are doing?
Because we got to stop saying he can't, and I don't see it. We've seen it. We've seen it with great quarterbacks that were not supposed to ever leave the franchise that they were with. Like, that whole thought process is changed. Like, we got to evolve with the league, with the times. That doesn't mean he's going to leave. I understand what you're saying, no. Mel, but it's not unprecedented. It's not far-fetched as it may have been 5 years ago or 10 years ago. This is not out the realm of possibility. The professional sports rankings are transitioning. They're evolving. Players are starting to understand what type of leverage they have more now. So if Aaron Rodgers decides that he doesn't want to be in Green Bay, I don't care how many years they got left on the contract. I don't care how much they want him to be the quarterback. If he tells them, I don't want to be in Green Bay anymore, they have to move him. They have to. Or they go sit there with all of that money on their books and have to give it away anyway.
That's really, Mel, I think.
It'll work out. It's still, we're right after the season's over. You work it out, yep. You communicate. Why would he want to leave Green Bay? They'll get him a receiver. They haven't done it since he's been drafted. Get him a receiver right early. That would be something to help Devontae Adams out. Do that. Show him you love him, which they do. I think that draft stung him a bit. This year you lose in an NFC championship game. Again, you only have one Super Bowl for Aaron Rodgers. That's it. He wants another. We're going to get it. It's going to be in Green Bay. And I agree. A couple years, fine. When Jordan Love's ready, fine, but not now.
Here's the thing, though, Mel. What you're suggesting is that the team wants to make the decision and control the timing. And I think what Swagoo is saying is the time has come now where the superstar players can take control of the timing. Everyone agrees with what you're saying, Mel. Of course, it's best for the Packers to keep him there another year or two until Jordan Love is ready. But I could see, and Jeff Saturday, let me come to you. I could see Aaron Rodgers at this stage of his career saying, you know what? You're the ones who made the decision that you're moving on for me. I'm just going to decide that this is the time to do it. And there's not that much you can do about it. Jeff, what do you think?
I'm going to look at him and tell him, hey, enjoy Hawaii or wherever you're going to retire to, because I ain't letting you go. You're going to have to retire not to be a Packer. Like, we're talking about leverage. I understand exactly what Swagoo's trying to say, but this is not Deshaun Watson. He's not in his early 20s. This is a 37-year-old man who his time is not on your side. So, and you are locked up for three more years through 2020 or four more years through 2023. All of those things go into the conversation of if you're the Packers, because if you give him up, you have sealed your fate from a coach, a general manager, and an owner, whatever Mark Murphy is, you are done. So you need to just ask him, hey, man, where are you retiring to? Because I'm going to come visit you, because there is no way I can let you out of Green Bay. This is not Deshaun Watson where you have 12, 14 more years of career on. This guy is in, you could say it's his 13th year because he didn't play his first three, but he just finished 16 years in Green Bay. He does not have the length of time left on his career to continue to sit out. That's the hard ball if it got down to that situation. I'm with Mel, man. Go, listen, go make good on this situation. Listen, we screwed up in the draft. You know, we got this love. But if push came to shove, they do have a first-round guy that could play as Rodgers retires. I do not think that Aaron Rodgers has the leverage that you were talking about with Deshaun Watson and other groups. He is too good. He is the MVP. You cannot let him off.
Can I ask a question, Mel? Because you're the one who would know this better than anybody. Jeff is talking about everybody getting fired if Aaron Rodgers isn't there. They did draft a quarterback in the first round last year. Is he so – if you drafted him in the first round, I can't imagine you think we're all getting fired if he winds up playing. Tell us about Jordan Love.
Oh.
Yeah, but is he ready? And we didn't have a preseason. We didn't have a normal buildup to that first game. Aaron was there, did a phenomenal job, MVP. Jordan Love will have his first game action in August coming up. So, again, I think Jordan Love, yeah, in a couple years, yeah. But not now. This is not the time. It's not like it was with Aaron developing. 3 full years he sat. And Brett Favre, remember when Aaron stepped in, people said, really, is he ready? They knew internally Aaron was ready before anybody else did. Okay, they transformed him in from something he wasn't at Cal to what he was when he took over in Green Bay. They're not going to know this with Jordan Love yet because they didn't have the normal buildup till this past season.
Let me get Graziano in here. Dan, how would this thing play out if Aaron really wanted to do this sort of, we'll call it the nuclear option as we are talking about here today? What would he have to do?
He would have to convince them that he's willing to not play, right, to retire and sit out, because at that point they would feel like their best bet would be to get something for him. The dead money's the same either way, whether he retires or they trade him. So that's what it would have to come to. He would have to convince them that he was going to do it. Now, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you know, you're 37. Is your best chance to win the Super Bowl next year one more year with the Packers, or are you thinking the next 3 or 4 years, what's my best chance? That would be the calculus in his mind. But if the Packers are going to do this, it's going to be because he forced their hands.
All right, I literally think we will be talking about this one for weeks. Mel, thank you. And again, the first mock draft is available on ESPN Plus right now. Guys, thank you all for getting up with us here. First Take starts now.